Live from the Momo Pizzeria and Ristorante Studios at 44th and O. Morning radio for the entire capital city. This is LNK Today with Jack and Friends on the Voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, greetings. Welcome in on a Tuesday morning, April 9th, 2024. We have got 35 degrees in the capital city. Cruising toward another pretty nice day here in April. You heard highs in the mid-60s, and more importantly, west winds 5 to 9 miles per hour. So not bad, not bad at all out there today, ladies and gentlemen. No eclipse scheduled today. So, you know, no more families sitting out in their lawn chairs in the driveway in my neighborhood, at least all over the place, or huge crowds of people driving to Indianapolis or Dallas or Cleveland or where Joplin, Missouri, or where I think those were all in the path. So back to normal. I hope you all got your fill last night of eclipse, or yesterday afternoon, I should say, of eclipse action. You've got another 20-year wait if we're going to, unless you're heading over to Africa or something to go watch one of the next ones.
Did you see what the NASA Moon Twitter account did yesterday?
No, I don't follow that.
It blocked the NASA Sun in Space Twitter account.
That's a space humor.
Then shared a screenshot that said NASA Sun is blocked.
I didn't know NASA had accounts for celestial beings.
Celestial humor.
I did not know that. Guys, did you, experience the eclipse, or did you stay inside?
No, I went outside with
you
the family.
You went outside?
Went out on the deck. Was able to see it.
What were your impressions of this historic moment?
It's nothing like 2017 when you have totality.
Yeah.
But it was a different experience this time because I was able to take Millie outside and have her look up. First, she goes, "These glasses don't work." Because when you put them on, everything is just gone.
Right.
And I was like, no, keep them on, look up. And she was like, oh, it's orange. I was like, yeah, good, you can see it.
Right.
So I know, like, in the moment, she's probably not grasping exactly what's happening, but it was still a nice experience to share with her.
Okay, that's good. Mark, how was your experience?
It was fine. I mean, it's interesting to watch how nature just does these things. And to see, but the part that really I think amazed me was how accurate these scientists and all these people are, that they can predict this.
Yeah, 20, 30, 40 years into the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is crazy. To the second, right? For sure. I went and walked my dog at about 12:30, and there were already people sitting out in the neighborhood at that point, and I was like, it looks pretty normal to me so far. I know we're just at the very beginning of the portion of this thing. And then I went, got home, downstairs, did some work in my basement on my computer. I realized at about 1:50 p.m., I was like, oh, my goodness, they're about there at the moment of peak eclipse in Lincoln. So went up. Went out to my deck, my dog came out with me, and I was like, you know, the way I would describe this is it feels like I'm wearing, like, low-tint sunglasses.
Yeah, it's like, it's a little darker.
But it seems like, it felt like you had, when you put sunglasses on, essentially, is what it is. And I didn't have any of the actual glasses, so I tried not to stare at the sun, although I'll admit I did take a peek. I did take a peek and couldn't see squat when I did that. Yeah. And then I was like, well, that doesn't work. You can't even see. There's nothing the naked eye can really see.
No, not at all.
At this point. So I enjoyed the moderate darkness and the slight cool that it felt like for 5 minutes. And I was like, well, see you later. And I went back inside, got back to what I was doing before. And that was that. And, you know. See you in 20 years.
If you want to see the next one, you actually see it in about 2.5 years. August 12th of 2026 will be a total eclipse
in
the Arctic, eastern Greenland, Iceland, and northern Spain.
I love eastern Greenland this time of year.
Especially the
August.
Yep. August in Eastern Greenland and Northern Spain will be the place to go. Kudos to all of you who did. I mean, I don't know if people who listen now did this, but to all the people who like did major travel for this thing, being lucky enough to have experienced in 2017, I kind of feel like, okay, like I did it. I was there for it. I've seen it now. I don't feel like I have to experience it again. It'd be cool if I was ever in a place where it happened again, but it all felt a little underwhelming after being a part of the full eclipse in 2017. So, but I'm glad people enjoyed it. My daughter told me, she was like, I've never seen so many kids have permission slips to leave school at lunchtime before. She said like, I'm sure she's exaggerating a bit, but she said like half the kids were gone. And I was like, well, maybe you could have been gone too had you expressed some sincere interest in the eclipse. But your exact words to me, I don't care about the eclipse, but will you let me out early? And Dad said, no.
You could have just said,
no.
You could have just said, can I see the eclipse? And then been like, yeah, I'm not really in it. Or faked it for...
Again, lots of different ways she probably could have played that better.
This generation is hopeless.
She just,
what are they doing?
She just laid all her cards on the table.
Find a good lie to get out of school.
She didn't even seem that... She seemed more disappointed that she didn't get out of school than that she missed the eclipse. But when she was in, you know, low elementary school, when the first one came, they got to go outside for that one. So,
how disappointing is that for you as a father who grew up in the generation that got Ferris Bueller to see that level of just not caring to even lie to get out of school?
Well, it's because I've picked her up early for Nebraska volleyball games. I've picked her up early for dentist appointments. It feels like that's a lot more regular than when I was a kid in school, so it doesn't quite take the same level of scheming that it perhaps used to. But anyway, we move on in the post-eclipse world, and the sun will be unimpeded today, warming us to about 68 degrees. All right, got a good show for you today. The Munch Madness champion is about to be revealed. Yeah, we're just gonna do it with the sportscast like we typically do. We just happened to fall on a day where we don't have a bunch of extra time to make a special different presentation on it. So Caleb is gonna announce it with sports, and we will see if it is Berea Boss or Cheese Steak Grill that is gonna be the championship, and I'm sure we'll discuss it a little bit coming up after news today. So we've got that. We've got your Market Minute. We have gotten your chance to win cash here on KLIN coming up right before the end of the 6 o'clock hour. 7 o'clock hour, Joe Jordan, your morning drive. 8 o'clock hour, Jason Ball, Lincoln Chamber, and also John Baylor is going to join us today. So full slate of news today, or excuse me, of guests today. Full slate of news today, too. Mark, what's leading off today in the headlines?
Well, couple of things, really. Probably the one a lot of people are going to take or have taken advantage of. Mail-in ballots were started mailing yesterday, so the early voting process for the May 14th primary is now underway. Okay. City Council approved the relocation of the bus transfer station downtown. Mm-hmm. That was approved at the council meeting. I've got some more details on the Sunday morning shooting downtown. It was a security guard, as Channel 8 had reported.
Yeah.
But there had been an altercation inside, evidently, and it went outside and ended up in the death of that 32-year-old. So.
Yeah, I watched the police briefing on that yesterday, and all the things you said. Apparently, it was a dispute inside this hookah bar that had about cutting in line. Essentially, it did make me wonder what they were cutting in line for exactly, because it was so late that they had already shut down alcohol sales. There were no, at least there weren't supposed to be alcohol sales happening at that time, but they do remain open where they don't sell alcohol into the wee hours of the morning. So I don't know if it's a bathroom or to, I've never been to a hookah bar, so I don't really know how that works. To get to the hookah and take some hits or whatever, that however that works, and I'm not sure exactly, but that's how police described it. They further said that among one of the the people in the alleged victim's group, and I don't know, they didn't clarify if it was the alleged victim himself or someone else with his group. Apparently, after private security intervened in the skirmish, got a hold of one of the security guards' batons,
mm-hmm.
and the struggle around that went outside, and that was then where the shooting occurred. Wasn't quite clear. The question was asked whether or not the alleged victim was armed. They essentially said, well, there was so much stuff on the ground on the sidewalk that we don't know where it came from exactly. And so I don't know what that means exactly, but that seems like that is going to be a significant question. It was also interesting because they asked, look, is this being investigated as a homicide right now? I assume the implication of that question was, well, as opposed to, you know, a defensible use of self-defense, you know, right on its face. And they said, no, it's continuing to be, you know, investigated as a homicide, although there have been no charges. So looks like they're still asking for video, and they think there's a lot of video out there. Of course, anytime there's a fight, you know what happens with that.
Sure.
Everybody turns their phone on.
They said there's a possibility that there may have been another injury from
the shot. Yes, they believe there was another injury.
So they're looking for that individual.
Looking for that whole thing, too. So still a lot of questions. The police said it was a private security firm out of Omaha that provided the security for that particular bar, but he didn't name the company that it actually was. And so, it's obviously very relevant for a lot of reasons. Exactly what did happen outside? What exactly was the skirmish? What kind of a threat was being presented to this security guard at the time? Were there other weapons involved? All of those will be very significant in terms of not only what kind of charges are coming out of this, if charges are coming out of this, but probably in terms of kind of the discussion that is going to come out of this whole thing as well.
There was a vigil last night, as I understand it. Channel 8 was there. They're reporting that his older sister, who was with him at that night, she is quoted as saying, "My brother had dropped his phone. He reached for his phone, and then the security guard shot him." So that's from Channel 8.
All right. Yeah. So this is... it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what else the police are able to discern about exactly what happened there. And then just real quick to go back to your mention of the city council affirming the decision. So they are, after all, going to put the bus transfer center at 11th and L Streets, the temporary transfer center, moving away from by the Golds building where they're doing work. And the idea is you keep it there until you build up this new nice big transfer center they're going to build east of the city council, but excuse me, south of the city council building, in that parking lot there. How long is that going to be? Well, 2027 maybe,
yeah.
But who knows with building projects like this. The local business community in that area had been pretty staunchly opposed to having that bus station be near their businesses for a variety of reasons, from parking to just kind of, you know, people not wanting to be around a bus station, essentially, difficulty crossing streets, among the issues that are there. So they did make some changes to perhaps assuage some of those concerns from the business owners. I'm not sure if they completely did, but they're going to use part of 11th and part of L Street to line up the buses. They're putting some bathrooms out there, I guess, kind of like portable bathrooms. I think they call them container bathrooms that they're going to put out there too, hoping that that helps a thing. And you kind of heard some of the testimony from the business owners, and they seemed resigned to this all happening and just saying, hey, you know, we're going to end up dealing with some of the brunt of this thing after this decision was made. I'm not sure what are the locations or choices StarTran had on this thing. And I'm saying I don't know. Not saying that there wasn't one, but I don't know.
Well, until they get the other transfer station built, there's not a lot of options.
Right, yes. So we'll see. But there's the business owners were you know, they were very clear that they said, hey, let's at least make it look nice. Let's make it feel like it belongs in the neighborhood. Make it look like, you know, it is given some TLC and people care about it. But the city council in the end did vote unanimously to allow that stop to happen. So that will be the place at 11th and in L Street there until further notice, then, probably about 3 years.
Then the news, the transfer portal has produced.
It has giveth and not taketh.
Yes.
Nebraska men's basketball has a new new player, new big guy, huh?
6'10", Andrew Morgan out of North Dakota State.
North Dakota State well keeps giving to Nebraska.
His hometown was just 40 miles from where I grew up.
Oh, no kidding. He's a Minnesota guy, right?
Yep. Wasika.
Okay.
Well, he's wearing that mullet.
He's got a mullet, or he had a mullet at least during at some point,
right?
When he was playing for NC State, and it sounds like Nebraska, North Dakota State. Sounds like Nebraska beat out Minnesota for his services too. So a win for Fred Hoiberg there. Of course, that's just the beginning. That's the beginning of this whole thing. He sounds kind of a little bit in style. This is a rough comparison, but a little bit in style like Rank Mast. Scored double. He was their second leading scorer last year, scored double digits, pulled down second most rebounds on the team. Not a huge rim protector, shot the occasional three, not as much as Mast did. So, you know, I don't know if maybe a backup for Mast if he stays.
He did shoot over 50% from the floor, so there's some efficiency when he does try to score the basketball inside.
They still need. This isn't going to be, I wouldn't think, the end of their search for big guys.
No.
I would assume there are going to be a few of those this portal class.
When you have six scholarships still open,
yeah,
I would assume two of those go to bigs at least,
yes,
if not
still.
Three.
I agree. So there you go. And
I think the Journal Star story, at least, or the Omaha World Herald, I don't remember which one, said that Sam Griesel may have had a little bit to do with his decision.
Yeah, when Morgan was a freshman was the last year that Griesel was there at North Dakota State.
I wasn't sure what the connection was.
Yep, they both played at North Dakota
State.
Yep,
they were teammates for a year.
So that Bison pipeline down to Lincoln continues. That same Griesel got going originally.
Mm-hmm. They skipped South Dakota.
And congrats to
we all like to do.
Hey, congrats to congrats to UConn, your national champ. Purdue and Zach Edey couldn't get it done. UConn was just better.
They're just good.
They're really good. All right, Caleb will have the rest in the sports world, and he'll let you know who won Munch Madness. This is the final moment of Munch Madness 2024. Stay tuned to find out. You're listening to KLIN.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
A look at news from both inside and outside of Lincoln, and conversation on how that news affects us here. It's time for the Sound Off on LNK Today.
All right, 6:36, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Coming up in 15 minutes. So for that cue to call, got the Market Minute with James Harold, but then we always have a trivia contest after that as well, and we give away cash.
$50.
$50. Rolled over, and we've given 100 a couple of times, but back at 50. And if we don't have a winner, we roll it over to the next week. And great way to win some cash here if you get on the line and you can answer the questions correctly. So be listening for that cue to call here in just a little bit. But boy, before we get into the sound off, I don't want to gloss over a huge moment here as we crown the champion of Munch Madness 2024. If you missed it, Cheese Steak Grill pulls it out with you said winning kind of wire to wire, although it was pretty close in terms of the percentage.
Yeah, overall percentage ends up 53-47. It was, I checked the voting right after the show yesterday, and it was within about 15 to 20. I watched it stretch to about 50 difference and then shrink back down. But and every time I checked throughout the day, Cheese Steak Grill was just holding that slim margin.
All right, so congratulations, Cheese Steak Grill. They are the winner. You can see them at 5640 South 16th Street here in Lincoln, 16th and Old Cheney, connected to the gas station there. Interesting fun fact about the Munch Madness new era, the 64 restaurant era in Munch Madness. Exactly now, half of the winners have been connected to gas stations. Which was sort of controversial when Norm's did it.
Right.
But again, I'll tell you, when I was in Oklahoma, I went to Joe's Barbecue in Oklahoma, connected to a gas station, and I waited in line for 45 minutes with the line that was out the door there to get their barbecue. So restaurants connected to gas stations can be very, very good. And Cheese Steak Grill obviously is. And so congratulations to them. Go check them out. Go say hi. Go congratulate them winning. Go get one of their they've got Phillies. They also have rice bowls as well. Get fries there.
I was hearing a lot of good run about their fries yesterday.
Yep, they look good. They look very good on the pictures. So you can check that out in Lincoln, about 16th and Old Cheney, and let us know how it goes. We just kind of packed in terms of the schedule right now for the next few days. I'm going to try and get Cheese Steak Grill on probably the beginning of next week. So if you're listening, Cheese Steak Grill, we will be in contact, I should say, and would love to have you on the show, talk a little bit about what you do. And then a big congrats also to Berea Boss, who not to be overshadowed, an incredible run for Berea Boss.
Ten seed to the championship.
Both of them 10 seeds, and it just shows you how poorly this whole thing was seeded, is I guess what I would
call it. It looked really well seeded until it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You know what my biggest disappointment is? That we didn't get a one dining moment this year.
I know, I didn't. I know. I did it last year, and didn't come back with it this year. I don't know if the reviews were particularly good last year, but if we need that again, I could still bust that out. I could add another verse to the whole thing. But there you go. Congratulations to the Cheese Steak Grill for their victory in Munch Madness. And we pack it all up now, Caleb, and we get ready for Munch Madness 2025. Everything is back on the table. Everyone is once again eligible for the bracket, if they are a local restaurant. We'll put them all out there. We'll reseed them. We'll play the whole thing through once again. And who knows what'll happen next time around Cheese Steak Grill. We'll of course be going for the repeat. Can they pull off the repeat? Become another 2-time champ. Who else are our favorites going in to next year? It's going to be a lot harder to figure out who the favorites are next year, Caleb, because this year all of our perceptions of the regulars kind of got blown out of the water, maybe other than Penelope's.
Well, and here's what I find interesting. Because we changed up a little bit of the distribution into regions, you went a true snake-ordered, but with the seeding. Full serpentine, that's what I'm looking for, the word, instead of being regionalized throughout the city. And by doing that, now that we have played out all 63 matchups, if I'm remembering correctly from every time I updated the Munch Madness history page each morning, not a single repeat matchup from the previous 3 years.
Is that right? My goodness, that's good.
That was one of the things of trying to make sure you mix it up a little bit. Now, had Mi Tierra not upset Muchachos, Cheese Steak Grill would have gone against Muchachos for the third year in a row.
Right.
But we went through all of these matchups, and you just didn't get all of the repeats. But I think it made it fun when you look at this and you look to next year, and sometimes there are some of the, well, are they seated too low? Are they seated too high? Your seed ultimately doesn't matter. You just got to show up each day on voting.
Right.
And that's what Cheese Steak Grill ultimately did.
For sure. For sure. I'm inclined. We aren't going to make any final decisions anytime soon for next year. I'm inclined to keep it that way for next year.
Yes.
I liked that. It was the same restaurants, taking on the same restaurants constantly when we regionalized the whole thing. And I think this also made for a more, you know, my seating jokes aside, it made for sort of a more fair path. You know, Cheese Steak Grill hit Muchachos every time, right? Mm-hmm. That had been the path before. And, you know, there were other matchups where that kept happening too, that there was a block that wasn't there for some of these. So I think I'll do it the same way next year. That's my premonition.
Anyway. And I really like it this way because I was already thinking the other day, before Penelope's was knocked out, I was like, okay, they're into the final four. They were the fourth one seed based on the way the bracket worked out. I was like, are they the second one seed next year? Is that where they should probably be? And then Cheese Steak Grill and Berea Boss. Okay, well, Cheese Steak Grill now wins it all as a 10 seed. Does that mean, are they a 3 seed next year?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know. Are they an automatic one seed? Because I don't know that they were dominant enough to be a one seed, but you're definitely top four next year, depending on who else makes it.
Right.
Berea Boss, are you a 5 or a 6?
Right.
There's so much that changes year to year.
But as we have obviously seen here, the higher seed doesn't necessarily, you know, give you an impenetrable advantage.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt, as we saw, I mean, more clearly this year than we've seen any other years. And I would just like to say some of the stories as we kind of look back on Munch Madness this year. It was the runs of several, like, underdogs that you would probably say based on seeding. Obviously, Berea Boss in the championship, Pita and Nan in the final fork, the run of Mi Tierra throughout the entire thing. Let's see. Penelope's again rolling this year, only to be have heartbreak going up against Cheese Steak Grill, of course, on this whole thing. The exits before the Eat Eight of Muchachos and Norms on 48th and Hell Yeah. All three of those
and
going
Isles.
Out. And Isles. All of them going out before the Eat Eight this year. And then the very original big upsets, which mainly involved the restaurants that I mentioned as the underdogs, but Misty's going down to Mi Tierra. There was that one. La Paz going down to Pita and Nan. There was, of course, that one as well. And there were a few others along the way as well. So big congratulations. Thank you to everybody who played along. Thank you to all of you who came out and voted. Thank you even more to all of you who went out and patronize these restaurants and let the restaurants know you heard about them through Munch Madness, and all the restaurants that played along, you know, put us on signs, put us on marquees, talked about us, got out on social media and made the vote happen. I just think it's all positive. I think it's all,
absolutely.
I think it's all, every single part of it is really positive and really good. And I hope every single one of these restaurants that got in here, got a little bit of a boost from this, especially those that are, and I'll be honest, especially those that are the smaller ones, that are the small businesses. And I know probably you got to work your butt off to make those ends meet in this restaurant business. And you may not have a lot of money, that is set aside for marketing for yourself. So to get your name hopefully mentioned a few times on the radio and talked about will be helpful for you going forward and just more findable in the future.
Well, and one other thing that we should mention is that, as I said, there were more than 20,000 votes cast, and every time you did that, you were entered for a chance at a $50 gift card to one of the Final Fork participants, Cheese Steak Grill, Penelope's Little Cafe, Berea Boss,
that's
and Pita,
a great point.
And Nan.
I forgot about
so
that.
We will have that announcement coming on who is the winner of those gift cards, plus a gift card to our official vineyard, James Arthur Vineyards. Big thanks to them. And as always, thank you to University of Nebraska Federal Credit Union for helping us out so much with Munch Madness for another year.
We may have to contact our official vineyard and ask what the perfect pairing with a cheesesteak would be.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
I think that's a good one.
Yeah. So there you go. All right. I am almost out of time. We've got time for just a couple of sound off clips here because we are going to get to the market minute. But we do have a couple of couple of decent sized stories here from a national perspective. So we will get to those. Really, one involving primarily Biden and one involving primarily Trump. We'll start with Biden. You heard it at the bottom of the hour, but more student loan debt erasure is coming, as the president outlined yesterday in Wisconsin.
I will never stop to deliver student debt relief on hardworking Americans.
In swing state Wisconsin, President Biden announcing plans to slash student debt for nearly 30 million Americans, wiping out up to 20 grand in accrued interest for borrowers who owe more now than when they took out their initial loan, and also giving automatic relief to those who qualify for certain programs or have been in repayment for decades. Trying to stave off legal challenges, the administration's framing it as a financial hardship program designed to address low-value degrees and cancel runaway interest.
Some of my Republican friends and elected officials and special interests sued us, and the Supreme Court blocked us. But that didn't stop us.
Critics say Biden's overstepping his authority again.
Well, if it makes anyone feel better, I'm not going to get any of those. So, so you won't have to.
Well, you wanna,
it's because it's got to. It's people who actually have more overall debt because of interest rates is part of it, and then some of them people who didn't apply for like the public service forgiveness, which has been around for years, but didn't apply for it, they're going to give it to them. We technically would be eligible for it, not because of me, but because of my wife, but because we consolidated our loans that, like, the...
You destroyed your eligibility destroyed, for basically
and
everything.
They passed a law saying they were going to uncouple them for those people. They haven't done that yet. I think they forgot it. So, you know, you don't have to be upset because old Jack's getting free government handouts. Don't worry about me. I'm not getting them.
Don't worry
about
old,
my bills.
Old liberal Jack.
Old liberal wants the handout, sucking from the government teat. There, not happening with me.
That's why
not
they
necessarily because I don't
TD
want
Jack.
To. Nobody's called me that.
Oh,
okay. please never say that again. Okay. Wow. And then Trump comes out and surprises some people with his. What is going to be kind of his policy going forward on abortion into the 2024 election?
Former President Trump's Truth Social video outlined his abortion stance, saying he believes bans on the procedure should be left to the states and did not give a timeline for when abortion should be banned. One of the country's most prominent anti-abortion groups says it's, quote, deeply disappointed in his position. And Senator Lindsey Graham, a fellow Republican, said he respectfully disagrees that abortion is a state's rights issue. The former president said there should be exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. In response, a statement from President Joe Biden says the former president is, quote, endorsing every single abortion ban in the states, including those with no exceptions. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
This is really interesting to me from just an overall politics strategy perspective, because Trump is very clear in the way that he's talked about it on social media especially, and I think he mentioned it in the video too, but he kind of fired back at some of his critics from the right on this, Lindsey Graham, some of the advocates, the pro-life advocates as well, and basically said, we go your way, we're not going to win elections, essentially. He basically said it's too,
yeah.
I mean, he didn't use these words, but he basically said, that's too far right on this issue to win elections, which is pretty incredible. I mean, to be honest, like, I'm really curious what the real reaction to that is going to be.
Yeah.
And he may be right. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know for sure, but it is definitely, you don't very often hear candidates, you know, on a pro-life candidate say things like that.
No, it is. Do you think some of that is realization in the way elections went in 2020 to reel some stuff back in?
I think the midterms probably.
To where you go, what becomes more winnable?
I think he's got people telling him this issue is a problem for you. Mm-hmm. And so he is adjusting on it. You know, not all the way by any means, but essentially saying the states should be deciding this. It shouldn't be a federal issue, and being very clear about the exceptions he believes in, or is going to, at least, I don't know what he believes in, but that he is going to make part of his platform, right? Exceptions for rape and incest and supporting in vitro fertilization as well. So
also isn't that taking a more traditionally conservative stance on the states should decide?
And that's a good point too, because that's why those words you've heard me say, I believe this on the show before. Like when people use the terms conservative anymore, especially conservative, I say to them, well, you got to define that to me.
That's why I said traditionally conservative.
It used to mean something different than it does now, and you make a good point. That would have also been a part of states' right versus should federal law be making, no matter what the issue is on.
Yeah.
So it's a good point. All right, we got the Market Minute with James Harrell coming up next. Your chance to win cash as well?
Yeah, so call now. 402-479-1400 to go ahead and play a small trivia game to win cash with James Harrell here on KLIN. Market Minute is next.
Urologist Brett Anderson.
Now for your Market Minute with James Harrell with NP Dodge Real Estate.
This is the Lincoln Real Estate Market Minute for April 9th. 30-year fixed rate mortgage interest rates are back to the upper sixes. Looking to build a new home in Lancaster County? Through the first quarter of 2024, vacant lots sold for a median price of $94,900. That may sound high, but it is a decline from the first quarter of 2023, when lots sold for a median price of $130,900, a decrease of nearly 28%. And now for your tip of the week. Interest rates aren't the only thing you should consider when choosing a lender. Ask the lender for a fees worksheet with closing cost estimates to get a good idea of the closing cash you'll need when buying a home. And it can help you compare all the relevant information when choosing a lender. This has been your Lincoln Real Estate Market Minute. I'm James Harrell with NP Dodge. Get a hold of me at 402-413-5290 or through npdodge.com.
And just like James helps you navigate the market, he's going to help Jeremy navigate a little bit of trivia. Got to get 5 out of the 6 questions right. Jeremy and James, are you guys ready?
I'm ready, Caleb.
Absolutely.
Here we go. Question number one. In what month will the next solar eclipse be viewable from Lincoln?
I think the next one in North America is August of 2044.
So you want to go with August?
Jeremy, do you have anything else?
I just view the 2044.
I think it's August.
Oh, yeah. Well, you are so smart. second question. How many states award their electoral college votes in a winner-take-all system?
48, I think.
Yeah, I think obviously Nebraska and Maine is the other one, I think. So 48, I think, is right, Jeremy.
There you go. Good job. And ding. I'll hit the ding. Nebraska men's basketball. Thank you. Nebraska men's basketball has picked up a transfer big from what school?
Oh, South Dakota or South Dakota?
I think it was State. North Dakota State.
North Dakota. The green one, yeah.
So North Dakota State or North Dakota? Yeah.
North Dakota State, I think.
There you go.
They're both green.
Yes. I was like,
oh.
Darn. All right. Got to just get 2 out of these last 3. At the CMT Music Awards Sunday, who won Video of the Year?
Jeez, who knows?
I have no idea.
I heard that Jelly Roll cleaned up. So that would be my only guess.
That's as good as I could do.
This is bonkers.
All right.
This is
I did
bonkers.
Not know that one. I did not know that
All
one.
All right, just got to get 1 of the last 2 here, guys. On this date in 1940, Germany invaded 2 countries. Name them.
Ooh. Is it Poland?
Poland's a good guess for one. Maybe Austria for the other one.
Sure.
No, at this point it was Norway and Denmark.
Oh,
gotta get this last
Scandinavian front.
Gotta get this last one for the money, guys. This is the 4th edition of the modern era of Munch Madness. How many total editions of Munch Madness have there been?
I couldn't remember that this morning.
Oh.
I know it's been at least 10 years. Jack, when did you start on the radio? 6?
Yes. I don't know if I can help you that way, but yes. But I'll also say I don't know this answer off the top of my head. I forgot.
I think I'd guess somewhere around 14 or 15, Jeremy.
What was the question?
This is the fourth edition of the modern era of Munch Madness. How many total editions of Munch Madness have there been?
I would be with you, but I don't know.
Oh, I would guess 14 then.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry! There have been 15 editions of Munch Madness. So that means...
Sorry, Jeremy.
$50 is going to roll over to next week for a $100 prize.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Momo Pizzeria and Ristorante Studios at 44th and O, morning radio for the entire capital city. This is LNK Today with Jack and Friends on the Voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
Well, I told Joe Jordan from News Channel Nebraska, our next guest, I said we could probably fill an hour or two today, but we only have 15 minutes. Good morning, Joe. How are you doing today?
I'll talk fast.
Talk fast. I mean, all those days in October and last summer when we're trying to figure out exactly, you know, where we're going to go. It's just the opposite today. So let's jump right into it. I want to get your thoughts on kind of a little bit of among many dramas. One of the dramas that played out last week when Senator McDonnell, who you've been very familiar with, you've broken some stories on, said he was going to change parties, and then that quickly engendered an effort to change the rules about the Nebraska electoral map and go to winner take all instead of apportioning it out by the districts. and that, you know, it doesn't even sound like McDonald was interested in changing that despite changing his party situation. I guess my question is, if there was, there obviously is a desire among some in the state to make that change and pressure from outside to do that as well. Why is it just coming up now? Was McDonald's change really the thing that they thought they needed to make this happen, even though it didn't even happen with that? The timing of the whole thing just seems really last minute with this.
Well, it certainly was last minute. And it does appear that McDonald's party switch promulgated this last minute move. I don't know why someone didn't ask McDonald beforehand, you know, where he stood on this, because, and I don't think it was widely known, but when you talk to folks, especially in the second congressional district, there's even Republicans, some publicly, but mostly privately, don't want winner take all to happen, because they like the notoriety that comes with the fight for the, you know, that one electoral vote here in the Omaha metro area, and it's an economic benefit. I mean, if nothing else, the broadcasters don't want it to go away, because you'll see it. You know, assuming it's winner take all does not take effect, I can't see how it does in the next, you know, day or two. You're going to have tons of ads from you know, Biden ads.
That's and true.
Trump ads in Omaha in October. And that's great revenue for the TV and radio stations.
I've never heard a political ad in my life, Joe. I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. So, I mean, so there's, you know, there's a lot of reasons. And I've actually had some Republican strategists in Nebraska tell me that the Nebraska populist movement, so to speak, even out west, people don't want winner take all. that they understand that that they see more like a one vote, you know, one vote per person situation.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I don't have any knowledge of that myself, but I've been told that by Republicans, that people out west don't want winner take all. So I don't know, you know, this has been coming up for 30 years now. You know, it started back in when Ben Nelson was governor, and it's persisted ever since. And there's always a half, there's always a handful, maybe a handful's too many, two or three Republicans in the legislature who don't want to switch. And they, so there's never been enough votes to pull it off. There weren't enough votes this time. This whole, you know, the other fascinating part about this is this, the sort of the national craze that took place on this.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, anybody that understands to any degree the Nebraska legislature knows this isn't going anywhere. I mean, you know, last week the speaker said you can't add something to a bill. Well, that pretty much ends winner take all, because if you can't add something to a bill, there's no winner take all bill that's alive right now. So how would you possibly get this thing through? Not that stranger things haven't happened, but I don't see it happening in these final two and a half, 3 days of the legislature.
Right. What I'm curious, what it, the fact that you've got, you know, Charlie Kirk coming out and doing a full court press on this thing on Nebraska, making videos that are appealing to Nebraskans that look like they were made either by AI or one of the worst songwriters in history. And, you know, and then apparently Trump himself calling a Nebraska state senator, like there was a real push, quick push from above on this as well, from the national part on this whole thing. What do you make of the fact that that became so intense in such a quick period of time?
Well, the cynic in me looked at it, is that people were looking for clicks. you know, I can't, I just don't know where they think this is going. It's not going to happen. You know, I mean, so other than people trying to just make some noise to make some noise, I don't know what they thought they were going to. I'm talking about the outside forces outside mm-hmm. the state. I don't know what they think they're going to accomplish. Like I said, stranger things have happened, and I you know, never say never. But boy, I don't see how winner take all can pull off in the next couple of days of the legislature. Could there be a special session for winner take all? I suppose that's possible.
Right. That's what they're saying. That's what the voices are saying now. Is that's what Nebraska needs to do.
Because they know there's no other way around it, no other way to get it.
Yeah.
But I, you know, that would put a huge, you know, microscope on the state of Nebraska if there was a special session for one electoral vote.
Yeah.
And you can say that's good, that's bad, but that certainly would be the case. And the other thing is, you know, we've had this discussion before. Again, anything can happen. Is it going to come down to one electoral vote? Is it going to be a 269-260? Is that what's going to happen? I mean, you can construct the possibilities. If we've talked about this for years, this one electoral vote is going to decide the election. Well, the odds on that are, you know, go out and play the lottery while you're at it. But like I said, anything can happen. But boy, that's pretty slim if Hickens.
Yeah, yeah. Well, man, the amount of chaos that's going to be happening if that goes down anyway. You know, all bets are really off. It feels like with that whole thing.
Oh, if we get down to one electoral vote, every state that has had a close race is going to be in question.
It's going to be
Nebraska's one electoral vote
for sure. 100% for sure. All right, let's talk about some of the other things going on in the legislature here. It was interesting. I was talking to my other guy on my show, Tim Russo, who does lobbying, and just kind of contrasting the two sessions. You know, last year the kind of the cultural fight around transgender issues really ate up a ton of the session. And this year, and I thought, oh man, when they come forward with this bathroom bill and the sports bill, that's going to do kind of the same thing this year. It's going to feel like it's hanging over the whole session. It kind of felt like it hung over a few hours this year and didn't end up having the votes. And now they're probably going to give it another shot next year. But it was just an interesting contrast, something that I didn't expect after what happened last year with this whole thing.
Well, the one additional item was that the speaker had cut back the number of hours for debate, as opposed to an 8-hour cloture fight to end the filibuster. turned into 4 hours. That cut it back a little bit. But you're right. You wonder why this didn't happen earlier in the session, sort of, quote, you know, get it out of the way. My guess is that earlier in the session, the backers of that legislation were questioning whether or not they had the votes, as they did right up until the last minute. And then they took their shots and, you know, it, as you said, came up a couple votes short. You know, and I don't know, everybody seems surprised by the fact that that Senator Reapy from Ralston was one of the two votes that stopped mm-hmm. it from passing. I'm not sure why that was such a big surprise to everybody. I mean, he was a vote on the, he's quite often taken the floor and talked about respecting other people's rights and what have you. And I don't know why that was a surprise to people. It certainly didn't surprise me. In fact, I interviewed him back in December where he openly talked about questions he had about the bathroom bill. So
interesting.
I was not shocked at all that he was not on board.
It feels like by the time they got to the floor, I think they had an idea of how it was going to go. It was just what the final one number was going to be. And maybe that time was spent trying to, during the session, trying to somehow whip the votes or make changes and didn't end up happening. But I assume this is something that'll come back again in later legislative sessions. And then, it'd be interesting to see how this property tax thing, Joe, is resolved as well. Now there seems to be a focus on, instead of dipping in with more sales tax, to maybe kind of put the pause button on some of the income tax changes that are coming. Could that be just kind of the new underpinning revenue wise for this whole thing?
Well, it appears that it's the last gasp, and we're already hearing from, well, for the Platt Institute, for one, is basically saying bad idea, don't do it. Don't stop moving the income tax rates down. Don't hit the pause button on that, even for a year or two. So there's already, you know, blowback from the right against that idea. Where that stands with the lawmakers, I don't think anybody knows just yet, because all of this has transformed in the last, you know, 4 or 5 days. As I thought it was interesting when Senator Linehan goes, we're open to any ideas to get this thing passed. Mm-hmm. Well, that's you know. That's A to Z, and right now it's on the income tax. Is there anything else out there that I'm not aware of, another option besides the pausing of the lowering the income tax rates? But I think that's where the fight's going to go, and I don't know, have any idea where the votes are on that. What I'm pretty sure won't happen, because there's still rumblings about a special, if they can't get this thing through in this, you know, next few days here, a special session on taxes. I find that hard to believe, because I can't imagine the senators going back into session in, you know, October, a month before the election.
Oh, that's true.
And having a tax fight.
That's part of the problem now, and it would be even more pronounced then.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's true. Senator Erdman a couple of weeks ago basically said, you vote to raise taxes, you're going to lose in November. Now, whether he's right or he's wrong, if this thing plays out as a special session in October, it would be insane, because every vote would be so critically scrutinized, and the mailings would be ready to go, you know, at the drop of a hat, as soon as somebody casts a vote one way or the other. So I can't, a special session on property taxes, I find hard to believe. I'm more likely to go with a special session on winner take all, to be honest with you.
Interesting. Wow. Well, that's, you know, the whole problem why this is so difficult is because when you're essentially, you know, doubling state aid per student, right? There's a bill that comes along with that.
Right.
You're not, you know, when you're spending more and making these reductions, as it's set up now, there has to be revenue to pay for the things that are outlined in the property tax plan. And it was based on the sales tax increase. That's not getting enough. It's just, I think people are going to say, look, both of these are tax shifts, and I don't know that you're ever going to have it be popular enough among people on the left and on the right, if that's how you do it, to get traction at this point. And so I don't know if it's completely back to the drawing board or what. Maybe I'm underestimating the way that you can work this out.
Well, not just is it going to be, if they go with try to lower the income tax rates, not only is that going to be argued as a tax shift, It's going to be argued as a tax increase. The argument being, you promised to lower my taxes, you know, in 2025, and now they're not going down. So you're raising my taxes in 2025. That's what you're going to hear. And again, when you, as we know, raising taxes is never an answer that anybody wants to hear. So I can't imagine how they're going to get around that, because that's going to be the argument, is that if you pause the sales, the income tax cuts, you pause that, you're raising my taxes next year because it was supposed to go down. And I don't know can they get around that? I don't know. And the last thing I don't know is, if it's not done with the income tax, I don't know where they can come up with enough money to pull off Pillen's plan to lower the property taxes by now 30%, which was initially 40%, but now it's down to 30. So, they're obviously scrambling, and I don't know where this thing ends, to be honest with you.
Well, and, you know, and I mean, Pillen had said, though, I understand the point you just made about the special session, but he staked a ton on this, right? He said it will take him to Christmas if we need to.
He's not up for re-election.
That's true. That's a good point. He's not up for re-election, and there's got to be some support, right, to call a special session within the legislature itself, correct?
So, well, that's not really always clear.
Okay.
If the governor wants it, he can get a special session. Now, if the senators want their own special session, that takes a certain number. But the governor can pretty much do it. I'm pretty sure he can pretty much do it
okay.
He wants on a special session. But now, realistically, he's got to know going in that he's at least close to 33 votes. You just can't, you just can't willy-nilly say we're going to have a special session and here we go. I can't imagine.
You're right. The governor can do it. Article 4, Section 8. The governor may, on extraordinary occasions, convene the legislature by proclamation stating the purpose for which they are convened, and the legislature shall enter upon no business except for what they were called together. So, yes,
there you have it.
You're right. But I guess what I was thinking of is the times it hasn't happened, namely after Roe versus Wade, was because they didn't think they had the votes to do it. Right.
You have the Constitution in your hand right there.
Just my pocket Nebraska Constitution. Actually, no, I've got it tattooed on my arms. So, all right, Joe. Well, we covered a lot in a little amount of time. We will get back together and take account of what happened during the course of this week. Be watching and reading you in the meantime. Really appreciate your time. We'll talk next week, all right?
Appreciate it, Jack. Thank you.
Joe Jordan, News Channel, Nebraska. 725, you listen to LNK Today with Jack and Friends on KLIN.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Ofgren.
It's time to count them down. The five things you'll be talking about today. This is the Morning Drive, presented by Stonebridge Insurance and Wealth Management on 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, without any further ado, let's start counting them down with
number five.
And we have the new champion in the books. Munch Madness 15 completed late yesterday. The winner announced about just over an hour ago.
Congratulations to the fourth winner of the 64-team era and the 15th winner overall and a first-time winner and a 10-seed Cheesesteak Grill.
Yeah!
Find them over on 16th and Old Cheney, right? Connected to the gas station. They knock off Berea Boss in a battle in the championship. Final count, 53% to 47%. And so just a moment to kind of, number one, give heartiest congratulations to Cheesesteak Grill. They've got a passionate fan base there, which always says a good thing. Like I was just saying about Daryl's, to be honest, but a passionate fan base, which is always shows that they're doing a really good job over there, and they've got some great food. And so I'd encourage you to go out, check them out, congratulate them for winning the championship, and continue throughout this year into this summer. If you still haven't checked off, keep that bracket around. If you've been checking off the places that you've been to, take your time and complete it over the course of the rest of 2024, right? I know it's not easy to go out to eat three times a week, but something that we continue to encourage and say you've been to a mall by the time we get going with this next year, because in the end, despite that, yeah, you want to win this whole thing, and that's where we have a little hardware that goes along with that. We do want to make sure that we are shining a spotlight on a whole bunch of these restaurants that, in the end, are small businesses and have people who are working really hard behind the scenes at them. Long hours, right? Sometimes taking a lot of financial risk that goes into that as well. And so we want to help them out, because I think one thing we can all agree on, despite all of our differences in the world these days, is we all like having good restaurants in our community. Yes?
Yes. Yes.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yes. We agree on that, and that's what we're trying to keep happening here. So, big thanks to everyone who made Munch Madness possible. I want to first off thank, in our own building, of course, Caleb, you did a ton with this as well and went through with this. Behind the scenes, I want to thank Maria Hansen and Kenny Larrabee.
Yes.
Nobody knows how much that they do for this. Weird hours of the day and night to make it happen when they've got other things going on, when they're not even technically supposed to be working. All of those things. They have been really great partners, and we literally couldn't do how we do it now, and how I think it's finally gotten to a point where it's efficient, it's fair, it's fun, it's easy, it's user-friendly to get there without the two of them. Thank our sponsors then as well, University of Nebraska Federal Credit Union, who's been with us for a while on Munch Madness, our official vineyard of Munch Madness for the first time this year,
yes.
James Arthur Vineyards. And everything that they did to help us with this. And then all of you for playing along, for voting, to go into KLIN.com. And we do have a little reward for everybody who voted. The more you voted, the better as well.
Yeah, there'll be four winners of gift cards to one of the Final Four participants, which, again, those are Cheese Steak Grill, Penelope's Little Cafe, Berea, Boston Pita, and Naan, as well as a gift card to that official vineyard of Munch Madness, James Arthur Vineyards.
Yes.
So be on the lookout for those.
If you voted every day, on every matchup, you've got a better shot of winning any of those than somebody who just voted occasionally. So hopefully you did that. We'll do that again next year, I think, as well. And we are going to I'm going to be in conversation with Cheese Steak Grill. I want to get them on here. It'll probably be next week sometime when we can get them on here and hear a little bit more about their story and officially congratulate them and maybe figure out a way to present the hardware that we
Absolutely.
Will eventually have that they can display however they would like to do that. But there it is, Cheese Steak Grill, second Munch Madness champion during the modern era, connected to a gas station. Exactly 50%
true
of those that have happened, and a 10 seed, not quite the 16 seed that Norms on 48th was when they won the whole thing, but a 10 seed, double digit seed nonetheless. Impressive. And as we said during the last sportscast and our own in-house prediction game, nobody had them going all the way. I think we had some that had them in the Final Four, but none of us had them going all of the way. So
we
impressive.
If you look at the 4 years of Munch Madness, guys, the winners have been, in year one of the modern era, 6-seed Muchachos. In year two,
they were new then. Yeah.
16-seed Norms.
Yeah.
Year three, 1-seed Muchachos. Year four, 10-seed Cheesesteak Grill. Yeah.
So three-quarters of it been a 6-seed or lower.
Yes.
Since we've done this.
Is it possible that maybe we need to have a theme of for Munch Madness 16? Good food and get gas.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Well, who knows how many gas station restaurants will open up between now and next February.
And we need to let you know, again, Taco Bell is not eligible, Mark.
Okay.
Unless we change the rules. Unless we change the rules. All right.
Yeah, awesome. He doesn't remember that joke.
What if I'm not going to sing One Dining Moment this year? I'm sure there are people very sad about that, but I don't think we'll sing One Dining Moment this year. Maybe we will. Maybe we will when Cheese Steak Grill comes on.
Maybe we'll find the clip from last year.
No, I need to up my game a bit. Maybe add another verse. We'll see.
Number four.
Assistant Police Chief Jason Stille briefed media yesterday on the shooting about 3 o'clock Sunday morning out in front of the hookah bar down 16th and O Street. 32-year-old man killed. He was shot by a security guard. Investigation still ongoing. There was some type of a confrontation, and it led to the death.
of man. This whole thing started with a dispute about cutting in line, according to LPD.
What they've released so far.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, it said that they that there was a dispute about cutting in line. Security team intervened, and then someone, either the alleged victim or someone with his group, got a baton from the security team. That sort of escalated things, went outside, and that's when the shooting happened at that point. So,
and there may be more to the backstory.
There could be.
Right. We've gotten some anecdotal information that there may be more to the story than we've.
Because the question there's going to be a lot of people asking, and I mean, this isn't rocket science at this point, but there's going to be a lot of people asking, hey, was this justified self-defense in this situation? What was the alleged victim, the deceased? Was he armed in some way? Did he have the baton? Did he have something else? That question was posed to police, and they kind of said, look, there was a lot on the ground in the area. We haven't quite connected who had what, and we're still looking for video of this thing from bystanders. If they exist, and they said they're looking, Mark, for someone else who was injured in this whole thing too.
Yes, they believe somebody else had a gunshot injuries.
Those are all going to be questions the community is going to pay attention to a lot. I'm going to guess over the course of the next few days. The security was private security though at this bar. They hire private security, apparently, from a company in Omaha. We didn't learn any more than that at this point. And no arrests have been made in this.
Correct.
Either no charges have been filed in this at this point.
But they do know the identity, and they have interviewed the guard that actually fired the shot.
Yes. So. Yeah. So that's the latest. Still a lot more, obviously, as Mark kind of implied there, and I think, you know, was clearly true from what the police had to say. Still a lot more before we find out exactly what the ramifications of this are going to be legally. Meanwhile, there was a vigil last night held for friends and family of the victim here. So, and there were some things said there, too, about, you know, whether or not this was justified. So we will see. Moving on.
Number three.
StarTrend Bus Transfer Center to 11th and L, approved by the city council yesterday. That closes the door on other relocation possibilities until a new transfer center is ultimately built south of the city county building. And they're expecting that maybe by sometime in 2027.
So the long fight over this is over. Is anyone happy? I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the city's happy, although they made some compromises too in what they,
my guess is,
originally had proposed.
The people working on the reconstruction or the deconstruction and rebuilding of the Gold Building, they're happy.
Okay, yeah. We found some because they got that transfer station out of the way, so they can get moving with that whole thing. It sounds like there were some compromises, Mark, just in terms of, you know, where the sort of the staging area for the buses will be. It'll be divided between the two streets on the corner.
Right.
They're going to add some bathrooms, exterior bathrooms that go along with that. And the business has kind of said, hey, you know, this is going to impact us. Can we at least not have this place be an eyesore, too, was some of the testimony that was
proffered. How nice are these outdoor bathrooms going to be? Are these going to be like just your standard outhouse, or are these going to be like on a trailer, fancy flush edition, really nice outdoor bathrooms?
My guess is there'll be some version in between.
Okay.
They called them on, in Margaret Reese's article, what's it, Margaret? they talked, I want to see the name that she used for them. She didn't say contain, okay, here it is, container style bathrooms. What does that mean? Exactly. Anybody know?
I don't know.
Does that mean an outhouse?
Well, not in the true sense, because an outhouse is just a little wooden shack on top of a hole.
Well, okay. Yeah. Does it mean the blue, green, or red little plastic buildings that we see when the half marathon comes up or in the tailgating lot at the football game? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, and know what Google is suggesting? That they're shipping container restrooms. a restroom built into these, you know, shipping containers that you see all over.
Oh, okay.
Modular, prefabricated restrooms in those types of containers.
Huh. Okay. So they may be a little bit nicer, though.
Okay.
Perhaps. Well, like with, well, I guess the question is, do they have plumbing? It's kind of one of the questions. They can do portable plumbing for some of these things rather than, you know, the alternative without getting too graphic.
One of them is called Box Pop. It says Box Pop is the mobile restroom. Every other option is a solid number two.
Interesting. Does it look like it's got like plumbing, like, running water, that kind of stuff in it?
I don't think so. I think it's all self-contained.
Okay. All right. That would be, I mean, if you're worried about it being nice and pleasant, I mean, I don't, you understand what I'm what
nice
I'm
enough.
Yes. All right. Moving on.
Number two.
Andrew Morgan never experienced anything like the transfer portal forward. From North Dakota State University, took a lot of calls, visited campuses, and finally, transfer portal will bring him to Lincoln.
Yeah, Nebraska finally gets one of the seven open scholarships. Andrew coming in, and he is 6'10".
Okay.
Second team All Summit League last year. Nothing flying off the paper at you when you see him, but when you look at where Nebraska has open scholarships, you think, this is definitely a good depth piece to have at the big position.
That's what it sounds like.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and who knows, he may, and he's only got 1 year, I believe,
yep,
as well.
Yeah, just
so,
one season.
So he was second in their team in scoring, second in their team in rebounds, not a big rim protector, shot the occasional three. So, I mean, kind of in the mold, not as much of an outside shooter, but kind of in the mold of Rank Mast, it actually sounds like a little bit. So, and I don't know if they know what Rink's going to do here when they make this signing as well. But let's hope. I think it could be a good piece on depth, but let's hope there are several bigs that are coming in along with him.
Well, here's
especially if Mast ends up leaving.
Yeah, I'd love it if they grab two more bigs in the portal. But if Mast does stay, what this does is Rink Mast can still go out and play between 25 and 30 minutes, but he can get a lot more of a breather.
Which,
with Andrew Morgan than he could with anyone coming in for him.
It was one of the flaws
season.
Of this year roster, and part of it was because of injuries, but there just wasn't depth. And we saw that, you know.
You wanted to see Kata get out there. You were hoping for a little bit faster development from Joe. They just, those things just didn't happen.
Yeah. So that's, I think that's what this really goes to. And North Dakota State guy continues the pipeline. Sam Griesel got started, and I think Griesel might have helped out a little bit with this too. It sounds like, as these two were teammates for a year.
So what we watch now is who was a freshman on the team this past year for 2 years from now.
Yeah.
That's the way that pipeline will continue to work.
Start looking at that North Dakota State recruiting class. All right, moving on.
Number one.
Coca-Cola, Sprite, Fanta, Minute Maid. They're looking at new materials and shapes for their containers, their bottles or whatever.
Oh, we're going to look. The bottles are going to look different. They're...
Yeah, that's what they say. More environmentally conscious.
So they're taking the weight. The weight has actually gone down from 27 grams. Will be down to, went down to 21 now over the last 10 years. Now it'll be 18.5 grams, trying to use less materials, but still keeping the durability and functionality
and
of the bottles.
And not changing the flavor of the product.
And not changing Yeah, those bottles have really changed over the years. And it's still interesting, like, the bottles you buy in the grocery store, the plastic bottles, 20-ounce.
Right.
They're different than the ones that you buy one at a time at the convenience store. Have you ever noticed that?
No.
Like, they're a different, at least for Diet Mountain Dew. I know Diet Mountain Dew better than anything. But they're a different shape depending on where you actually get them. So that's probably got to do with packing and stuff like that as well. But... So there you go. It's going to feel a little bit different when you get your favorite soft drink, at least Coca-Cola. I guess Coca-Cola isn't Diet Mountain Dew anyway, so.
Yeah, when can we get these drinks at Husker Games?
There it is.
Uh-oh.
There it is.
Uh-oh.
You people and you people. I said it. You
whoa,
people.
Whoa.
You
whoa.
Coke people.
Whoa.
Trying to take away my Diet Mountain Dew from Husker Games is... That is nefarious.
We will never take your Diet Mountain Dew.
I will fight for my Diet Mountain Dew.
Okay.
At Husker events. You people trying to get Coke in there, don't appreciate it. Don't appreciate it at all. Plus, Coke, Pepsi, whatever. Who cares?
You know what? That's fine. Let's keep Pepsi. All I want is to get rid of the Diet Mountain Dew now.
You're the worst.
That's it. It's Why? Not even a Coke Pepsi thing. I just want to get rid of Diet Mountain Dew.
Why?
Just to spite me. Just to spite me.
There's other ways to spite him.
Man, imagine that.
Can you imagine how cranky he'd be if he didn't have his Diet Mountain Dew in the
That's
morning?
That's exactly right. I mean,
cranky on steroids.
I'm glad they're not in an impasse on that like they are the beer at Haymarket Park, because then I'd really be wanting to mediate this whole thing. 756, that
Lawsuits
is it.
Lawsuits galore.
Yeah, that is you. That's it for your morning drive, brought to you by Stonebridge Insurance and Wealth Management on KLIN.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
And live from the Momo Pizzeria and Ristorante Studios at 44th and O, morning radio for the entire capital city. This is LNK Today with Jack and Friends on the Voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, greetings. Welcome back. 38 degrees on this Tuesday morning, April 9th, 2024. Glad to have you back with us. And it's time to say hello to Jason Ball from Lincoln Chamber of Commerce. We visit with here a couple times a month on the show. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic, Jack. Good morning.
Very good. Jason, you know, we talked a lot last time you were in a couple of weeks ago about the legislature and what they are looking at doing in terms of reducing property taxes. We got into the discussion. I thought I had a really interesting discussion about it.
Yeah.
Feels like a lot has changed in the last 2 weeks on this whole thing since we last had that conversation. So maybe it's time to update it a little bit.
Yeah. So some things have changed and other things have changed. There's a lot of folks that are holding our breath. So,
right.
So folks might remember the bill that you're referring to is 388. It was brought forward as a way to an attempt to alleviate the pain that everybody's feeling on property tax by raising a statewide sales tax.
Yes.
And so, again, it's a shift to a different tax source. We're not changing the size of government or reducing the size or cost of government services that we receive across the state. You know, the idea was, well, we can replace it with this and reduce in other areas. And, you know, for lots of reasons that we discussed last time, Chamber had some real concerns about tax shifting, as well as the other chambers in the state, including the state chamber and other partners that we worked with. So what's changed? Well, not long after 388, it did clear a cloture vote on its first round vote, but mm-hmm. then they also passed an amendment to pull out the sales tax portion of it. And at that time, it was proposed to raise the sales tax by 1%.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've pulled that out. Everybody around the Capitol now is waiting to see what the funding mechanism is for all this school funding that they have already passed.
Right.
To figure out, well, how are they going to pay for it? And it's over $1 billion in statewide school funding.
Because that was the sales tax portion of this. Yeah. That's why they had to do that, is because you're increasing state aid. This is a very rough way of explaining it, but they're really increasing state aid to schools, which is a larger expenditure, so they need more revenue to meet up with that, with the purpose of it being the schools levying less in property taxes.
And the state is paying for more of schools across the entire state.
Right.
Yes. That really is the structural change. But you know, there have been senators in the media who have proposed, well, gosh, if sales tax isn't going to work, what if we either slow down, delay, or stop the income tax decreases mm-hmm. that were passed in the previous session. Now, Jack, I want to remind everybody that passed a great fanfare across the state. We had really put down a marker to say, we're going to keep up with the Joneses. We're going to mm-hmm. keep up with the neighboring states as much as possible and try to reduce reliance on income tax, which also affects every family and every business in this state. And we were going to, over a period of time, I think to 2027 or 2028, come down to a top rate of 3.99%. And so the proposal has been made informally. There's still nothing in a bill.
Right.
Informally, well, if people didn't like doing a sales tax increase, maybe we will slow down or stop the rate of decrease in our reduction of income tax. And I think that is something, certainly the Lincoln Chamber is very much against against that too, as well as, again, other business organizations. And here I just want to go back to our fundamental concern on this from the business community writ large across the state is we are talking about replacing a locally levied, locally controlled property tax. We're replacing that with a statewide tax resource, either now sales tax or potentially income tax. And that is inherently going to land in different industries and different geographies and on different families and people and businesses differently, creating winners.
So you're essentially saying the same, the objection is exactly the same.
Absolutely.
Whether it's sales tax or slowing down decreases in income taxes.
Yeah.
Or stopping.
Yeah. Again, Jack, the impact of reliance on an income tax based use for this, one, it creates a really unstable environment for business. So we passed tax cuts to great fanfare last year, and then we're going to turn around and slow that down or stop that tax cut. That creates a lot of uncertainty for businesses. It's just not a great signal to send to any business community all by itself. But two, we're still just shifting, right? The chambers continue to want to provide property tax relief through growing the economy. And you do that through comprehensive universal tax reform efforts, as we have done in this state for the past 10 years, comprehensively to $22 billion total, that includes $14.7 billion of direct property tax relief also. And we've enthusiastically supported those. The other thing that I'll point out, Jack, is we want to return back to the conversation related to valuations. That's what's been lost in all this is everybody's aware if you've tried to sell or buy a home in the past, we'll call it 5 years, right? We've seen that market value increase exponentially. That's the invisible hand of the free market telling people what homes are worth. And then for tax purposes, our county valuations have changed over time. But the rate that we're levying has not come down at a commensurate level with that to provide some relief on that growth. We want to get back to the conversation that's focused on if we're going to use a market-based system for valuations for property tax, which is a reasonable way to do it, how are we going to work with the levies a little bit better? We do celebrate the fact that there are some advanced discussions on caps in terms of what levy increases can be. I think that's been a healthy discussion this year. I know that the League of Municipalities and other organizations have been very involved in those, as well as the school districts. Mm-hmm. We're also front-loading tax credits that, sadly, because people have to file for them, have gone unclaimed. So we are working with parts of this that fit within a comprehensive set of solutions, but we want to go back to a more broad-based, growth-focused approach at this.
I understand what you're saying in terms of the, you know, essentially taking a local tax that could end up in different parts of the state, right? And it could be, you know, in some way, might be putting words in your mouth, but in some way robbing Peter to pay Paul in some fashion, at least. I guess, and I think you partially answered this with your last answer, but how much of a role does the state, or should the state, I guess, have from a chamber perspective who's focused on the city? How much of a role, given that argument, can the state have at all in this situation, given your existing objections?
Yeah, Jack, what a great set of questions. Yeah. And I'll try to comprehensively go through them. I think there is a robust discussion in this state right now, and some people will point to the Nebraska State Constitution related to what role can or should the state have related to paying for K through 12 schools. Mm-hmm. That is a dialogue that needs education experts at the table. Certainly it's important from a taxpayer and business perspective, but that's kind of component number one. But Jack, again, the real issue on this is how much control should local communities and local elected officials really have over locally controlled and levied tax resources. And that's the fundamental mismatch here and the difficult situation that I think state elected leaders find themselves in right now. Like, I don't envy, honestly, the position that all the senators are in and that the governor in. I give them all great credit for trying to take on a really complicated set of solutions and set of options here to try to provide alleviation, because when they go out and knock on doors and they talk to voters when they're in campaign mode, all of them are coming back to us and saying, look, we're hearing about property tax. We're not hearing about other things.
Yeah.
It's a pain point for their constituents. They have to try to respond to it. I get that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There must be some, you know, I think there's a sense among people who are supporting some of these efforts that the property tax is such a problem that we're going to have to be willing to swallow some things that we don't like with it to give it the attention that it is that much of a problem that, yeah, we get it. We don't really want to get rid of the income tax stuff that we passed last year and got some people liking. We don't really want to raise the sales tax. Nobody really wants to do that.
Yeah.
But this thing is so bad and is so much of a problem in the state that we have to be willing to do that. I guess where is the difference here exactly? Is it in how serious and how bad the property tax issue is, or is it just that the kind of the thought is, hey, there's other solutions you just haven't looked at here at this point?
Jack, the Lincoln Chamber's focus would be suggesting there are still other solutions that we haven't looked at. Again, it's not just us. You've mentioned these other groups that are like the Platt Institute and Americans for Prosperity. They're all very uncomfortable with how things have progressed in this session, too. Again, the process that has worked best for Nebraska over the past 10 years, 20 years is focusing on economic growth, bringing new business and industry to this state, trying to broaden the tax base and provide relief through growth. And I know people are saying that they don't feel the $14.7 billion of direct property tax relief that has happened as part of comprehensive growth, but we're doing that in a way that doesn't move money from one pocket to the other. The other problem, challenge I think we're faced with, Jack, is at a local level, local communities, I think particularly in rural areas, are going to have to struggle through with what are they willing to pay for their local government services that they benefit from. We struggle with this in Lincoln. There are no easy answers on this. That's why we're involved in both encouraging our property taxing entities to make sure they're doing so carefully, thoughtfully, and not running up the board on that. And we have been part of those conversations at a local level. Those always come with costs and trade-offs. And I think the same thing in the rural areas of the state. I just don't think it's reasonable to say, hey, we want to try to lean on other parts of this economy in Nebraska to pay for our local government. The last thing I want to throw in on this is, yes, we may be at a juncture where we feel so much pain on property tax that we really have to take a different kind of a shift as a state to address some of these challenges. The worst thing we can do is do so in a way that negatively impacts our competitiveness when we're trying to grow business, because every business that's already in Nebraska has choices about where they can locate for the most part, right?
Yeah.
We don't want to see industry leave Nebraska. Same thing for industries that we're trying to recruit into the state and businesses that we want to see come here, create jobs and grow this economy. The last thing we want to do is put ourselves in a position where every other state around us is just a better place to land. And while property taxes are important and they do look at that, that's not their only consideration. Right,
which is, I think, part of why the income tax thing happened last year, too. They looked at what Iowa was doing and those sorts of things.
That's
all
correct.
Right. Always good session. We're already out of time. I had more questions, too, that I wanted to get into, but we are already out of it. But I guess we'll see what happens next.
I can't wait to come back in 2 weeks and talk about the postmortem on all this.
Or the special session that's coming up. Yeah, we'll see.
That's right. Thanks, Jack.
Exactly. Hey, there goes Jason Ball, Lincoln Chamber of Commerce. It's 8:23. We'll take a break. Got to check out sports. And if you missed it, we got the final March Madness results. Those are next on KLIN.
Waking babies in the North Bottoms. and then helping them ace the ACT since the 90s. It's the voice of Nebraska volleyball, John Baylor.
All right, greetings. Welcome in. 38 degrees in the capital city on this Tuesday morning. It's been a little while since we've visited with voice of Nebraska volleyball, John Baylor. He joins us now. Good morning, JB. How are you doing this morning?
Jack and Tech, I'm very well. Tuesday morning, April 9, the day Lincoln Public School juniors take the ACT. Everyone's sending positive psychic energy towards all those scholars.
Nice. Nice. That's right. It is that because they do it. See, we didn't get that. We didn't get any of this, JB, when I was in high school. We didn't have you had to sign up and take it on a Saturday, right?
Fend for yourself. The Darwinian world. Now we try to help kids lift them up and make them think, hey, maybe I can go to a 2 or 4 year college affordably thanks to a higher ACT score. Love it.
There you
we
go.
We had to wake up in the black of night on a Saturday and drive to Kearney to take our ACTs.
And back then, preparation was, hey, how do you spell these three letters?
Go.
Now with everything riding on, I mean, UNL is going to cost you all in $25,000 a year. Wayne State all in, you know, about $18,000 a year. You want discounts. In the old days, when I went to college, you could finance it yourself. And UNL was like $4,500, $5,000 a year. Everything included.
I know.
You could swing that with a summer job. You know, I was making $3.35 an hour back then. Nightmare.
Yeah, you don't have to tell. You don't tell me any of this, JB. This is my life right now. So
remember, we used to have higher aspirations, but apparently, as Americans, one of our goals is to shroud ourselves in victimhood. So let me take advantage of that by saying I was exploited as a high school laborer.
What did you do?
I washed dishes at the old Spaghetti Works downtown, $3.35 an hour. And they would not even let me out of the kitchen. I'm like, I want to go out and check out some of the red clam sauce. Stay back in there. The nightmare. There's a wall. I remember when I went to Berlin, I'm like, this reminds me of this wall here of the barrier between the kitchen and then the restaurant where the free people roamed. I was not.
You didn't even get to replace the sunflower seeds on the, what was it, like the fire truck salad bar or whatever they had in the basement there? Remember that?
Exactly. I saw that as I entered and exited. Yeah, that was one of the best basement restaurants in town. If you're looking for good subterranean fare,
that's true.
The old Spaghetti Works. Yeah, I think windows are overrated. Let's get down below ground.
Yeah, you don't see as many basement restaurants, do you? I'm trying to think.
People have decided, except for a solar eclipse, that light is good.
That's true. I'm trying to my very first job, JB, and I made zero money at this most of the time. In fact, I think I may have lost money at it. Is from I think 1990 to 1994. I was a Memorial Stadium concessions hawker, right? Walking through.
You lost money at Memorial Stadium? What the heck were you selling?
My first year was popcorn. Okay. And you had to. So basically, how it worked was you had to buy your box, your big load of concessions. Oh. You bought it with your own cash and then you sold it at a 10% markup. Basically, and from what you bought.
That sounds like a profit to me.
Yeah, but if you're not paying attention and you're paying attention to the football game or you don't sell an entire box or you give some one person the wrong change in their favor, that right away that changes. That can put you in the red very quickly. And especially if you're distracted.
I always tip those concession guys now. What do you mean you came up with... You mean back then there were no tippers at Memorial Stadium?
You had to get the people who were in a very good mood coming in after spending a lot of time in the parking lot.
Jack would give them their food, then he'd say, "Hey, it's going to ask you a question."
Yeah, JB, I didn't have the credit card machine there asking the question for me at all.
Well, I now lavish you with the righteous title victim.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate.
I dub you victim of the round table.
I don't feel that way because I got to see Nebraska beat Oklahoma in 1914 and 1991. I got to see them beat Colorado 52-7 in 1992. I got to see them beat Kansas the next week, a ranked Kansas team, believe it or not, 49-7 the following week. I got to see them beat Oklahoma in the coldest game in Lincoln I've ever been to the following year, 21-7 in 1993. I mean, I could go on. But,
I take it all back. You are a lot less popular than I thought. You, in fact, are not a victim.
Right. Yeah. And part of the time, I just went up into West Stadium, walked all the way up the stairs, tried to sell on the way up, then took a little rest, put my back up against the old concrete or whatever wall that it is, right at the 50-yard line. Still could see most of the field from up there. Took in about a half a quarter of football, went back down, hopefully to get a new box. Yeah,
and then you are eating the profits. You were just chomping on popcorn up there while you're watching the Huskers.
Occasionally did that. I got promoted to Runza's, and then in the final year, I was in the very first year of Valentino's Pizza being sold at the stadium. I was one of I may have sold the first ever piece of Valentino's Pizza at Memorial Stadium. No one knows for sure.
And you were probably thinking to yourself, "Hey, these are the Husker football teams." Pre-West Coast offense.
That's exactly.
And you're like, yeah. Thank goodness. This is before the West Coast offense. I love these guys.
When we sold Runza's, we had to wear a Runza t-shirt that they had branded. This is hilarious. I don't know if anybody else will remember this. That said Air Aussie, like implying that Tom Osborne had become, you know, and I don't know if Tom Osborne approved this or anything, his name, image, and likeness being on these shirts, but it said Air Aussie, and it was a guy that I guess was supposed to be Tom Osborne flying in an airplane over Memorial Stadium. That was our branding to sell Runza's in circa 1992, I believe.
That shirt moved a lot of cheese runs.
It did.
Right there.
It did. It very much did over the years. So, yeah, there you go. It's
I think the Everett family, patriarchs, the creators of the great runs of brand have fine-tuned their marketing since the early 90s a little bit.
I like
their marketing.
Did you get to, well, speaking of their marketing, they backed up traffic all the way to Cornhusker Highway trying to get people to try breakfast Runza's last week. You heard about that, right?
No, missed it. Some things I missed.
Where are you? Do you live under a rock?
I like biking, so these traffic jams don't bother me a whole lot. But everyone else, big fans of OPEC, what the heck? Jumping the big old gas guzzler.
I feel like you need to be this is a major news story in this community that I feel like you should be aware of. The breakfast Runza is unveiled for one day, and you've got no idea about it?
Lincoln Transportation and Utilities had to change up traffic in the area?
Right.
Yeah. Did you know that Gaza breakfast run?
You know that K.O.R. is no longer governor here of Nebraska? I don't know how far back I got to go with you here.
I just heard about JFK. I'm very, very sad about it. Should never have happened. So here's the point, my friend, is that that I've been laser focused on volleyball a little bit, and then this is ACT season. Have I mentioned that today's a big day?
That's true.
And so I've got
You got the same season as the accountants, right? All counting down to April 15th, and you're counting down to April 9th. And
you got it. But what a testimony to Runza. They just launched the breakfast Runza, and there's a traffic jam.
For one day. Limited, only 400 of them. I did get to try one because Tom Stanton in our newsroom brought me one. And
what'd you think?
It was good. I mean, I would have done it a little differently, but, you know. It was good. It had the runs of magic to it, and I think it could definitely be a thing, but I don't think they're going to do it full time. This was just
put up a Jack Attack Shack right next to every Runza, just selling breakfast Runza.
It's a good idea.
Version.
It's a good idea. They ought to consider that. All right. Well, let's talk a little volleyball. And unfortunately, the story with Nebraska volleyball the last few days has been about Harper Murray, and then of course her situation that she is in right now with facing some charges related to an incident. I don't know how much you know or don't know about this, JB, but just kind of curious about your reaction after seeing a little bit of that news.
Very, very little is the answer. So again, I'm certainly aware of this particular news story, but it's very unfortunate, and I am extremely confident that everyone down there who
loves and protects the brand of Nebraska volleyball, is fully focused on this. She's a tremendous player and tremendous young person, and from media reports, probably made a mistake. So let's wait and hear more and learn more. But I'm pretty much like the rest of the public as far as awareness of exactly the particulars of this.
John Cook did talk a little before all that came out about some other things that were going on. I thought it was kind of interesting. I didn't realize this. Carney was not the first choice for the spring match. Caleb, did you see this?
No, that was news to me. Yeah,
Carney was not the first choice. They were looking at some other places, but they have high school graduations so dang early at these schools that they were gonna interfere with a high school graduation. So Carney it is after all that.
That's a great high school building structure, and that gym is amazing. And what is it seat? I think it's like 2,700.
But they're moving it to the UNK gym.
Yeah, they originally announced it was going to be at Kearney High. They've moved it to UNK's Health and Sports Center that seats 5,000.
Love it. We could use every seat we can get. That sucker sold out in less than an hour.
Yeah,
and that's a great facility too.
Yeah,
I'm surprised they've never done it at UNK before. But Kearney's a great host, and I can't think of a town that hasn't hosted Nebraska really well. Last year was fabulous at Central City, the Dome, which many Division I college volleyball programs would love to have as their home facility. So it's a rite of spring, and people, maybe it was you, somebody said, how about we have the spring game in the Coliseum at some point? And I'm like, well, we kind of have this. We need a second spring game if we're going to use the Coliseum. First of all, I don't know how we get the North bleachers back in there, but secondly is, this has just been a tradition, and this is part of the connection that Nebraska volleyball has with the entire state. It makes a trip out to one of these towns in the spring. I think it's also good for the players to see firsthand whom they're representing.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a really cool thing. I love that I think they will continue to move it around. They'll probably try and find. Cook said basically the problem also was that they didn't want to go the same time as the football spring game, and that was, this football spring game is later this year, so they had to move this into May, and that was what got them in the conflict with those early graduations that some of those other schools have. So he said, if you want to blame it on anyone, blame it on Matt Rhule. So we'll see what the response to that is. I got a couple of just kind of to volleyball questions as we get into spring for you. It sounds like Lindsey Krause, according to John Cook, is physically, you know, back 100%. Man, what a, that injury, holy cow, that thing really took a toll, course on last season, but on Krause as well. Sounds like she's still got to work through some of the mental stuff, which I don't really think about that, but I can see how that would be an issue in volleyball with an ankle injury, because you're constantly landing, time after time after time every play, and then you start thinking, oh no, it's somebody's foot down there.
And this all happened in an innocent drill and practice, a drill they do 1,000 times a season. And same kind of thing for Kenzie Knuckles. It was just some innocent drill they do over and over all season long. It happened in practice. And Kenzie's was the first major injury in quite a while for basketball. When I heard that UConn women's basketball had 5 major injuries in one season, I'm thinking, well, they should really look at that. I don't know the particulars, but that's a pattern. What are they doing that may have contributed to that outcome? Because Nebraska volleyball, knock on wood, historically has rarely run into that issue until Kenzie's injury at the end of 2 seasons ago changed the rest of that journey. And then Lindsey's injury last year, she was hitting 360 in the 6 matches prior to the injury. That's second team All-American. The only reason that's usually first team All-American, but she only played 3 rotations. She probably would have been a second team All-American last year. And, to take away that from your lineup, you just saw, when the passing woes started, that without that second great outside hitter, the passing troubles were difficult to overcome. Anyway, it's her final year in college. Of course, she's got a great pro career to look forward to, but my guess is she's going to play with abandon and not think a whole lot about that, because this is it, and she's really waited her turn, and let's hope it really works out for her.
One of the most interesting things to me about what Cook had to say last weekend when he talked was he mentioned that Allie Batenhorst is, in fact, continuing to practice with after playing the beach season, continue to practice with Nebraska in the spring, still attending Nebraska this semester, still planning, as far as I know, to transfer to USC. Yep. That surprised me. I mean, the explanation, I thought, was very, you know, I mean, very benevolent to Allie Badenhorst with this whole thing. Yeah. I don't know where else that happens. Maybe it does, JB, but when you have someone who is transferring in conference, essentially, and they're going to keep practicing with you in the spring, sometimes these players are being locked out of weight rooms in this situation.
It probably happens elsewhere, but I don't know of any other example. I just, you know, this is really not beneficial to Nebraska at all. They're going to lose this player who's going to be better, and then she's going to be an in-conference rival.
Yeah.
I mean, in the fall. So
that's great.
I think this is a big, big thank you to Allie and her family. She's got lots of family in northeast Nebraska, and her dad went to Wizard Pilger, her mom, Millard North. I mean, just, and then she's been a great soldier for Nebraska volleyball over the years. So it's just a big old thank you. She's got to be here anyway to finish her upper degree. And rather than have her just kind of working out on her own, hey, come help out and join the team and be with us and on the sand this spring. So it's one more nice picture image of how Nebraska volleyball operates.
Yeah. I think it's really nice. I would never do it, but I think it's really nice.
If she gets a big kill in set five at the Coliseum this year, fans are going to be like, "Now, why did we help her out last spring?"
Well, they got to work on. They got to change all the signals now after she leaves, right? I mean,
exactly. Forget the BIC. Now you got to call it a pencil. I mean, you got to change all the same. Instead of the A gap, now it's going to be the Z gap. Everything's got to get switched when she shows up. When you play these foreign teams, it's really tough to pick up their signals. They're talking a whole other language.
That's true. We'll probably get more in depth before the actual spring match in you know, kind of all the sort of positional situations, the newcomers, that sort of thing. But just give me heard a little about the newcomers. It sounds like they're already going like gangbusters in there with this team. You bring in these recruits, and they've been through so much competition already. It seems like there's smaller and smaller of adjustment process for the freshmen to come in. What are you excited about now that we're starting to hear a little bit about this freshman class that's coming in?
Well, Olivia Mock and Skylar Fields. I mean, Skylar's just fabulous personality from what I'm hearing. She's just exuberant, just great team player, just great for chemistry, hard worker, big smile. Fans are going to love her. Now, I don't know how often she's going to see the floor this year, but you'll see her a lot, probably after her freshman year, maybe some this year. Olivia Mock, the pride of Bennington, she's going to probably see a fair amount of time this season.
Interesting.
She's in the under-21 USA national team tryouts. They only invited 30. Five are current Huskers, two are future Huskers. Seven of the 30 invited.
Oh my gosh.
Are Huskers.
It's crazy.
And anyway, Olivia Mock, an invitation because she, in all of her international play and, you know, big competition, she has really been impressive as the libero. So she's not going to be the starting libero this year, but she can help. So, and that often happens. You get a freshman who comes in who's a back row player. You hadn't really heard of her a whole lot, and she's playing in the back row in a set five, you know, in the NCAA tournament. So we may see that with Olivia. Now we got Lainey back there, we got Lexi back there, but so it's good to have a third strong back row player.
By the way, JB, that under-21 national team, it wasn't 30 invites, it was 20.
I was thinking it. I was like, is that 30? It might be 20. Yeah.
So seven out of 20.
So a quarter of the invites are current Huskers. More than a third are current and future Huskers.
Crazy.
Yep, right. Thank you.
Very nice. Well, if they move that facility to Gretna, they won't have to drive very far. If that happens. All right. Hey, great conversation, also, JB. We'll talk again soon.
You move the whole National USA Olympic Volleyball Committee. Operations at Gretna, there could be a lot of shopping outside of practice. Easy access.
That's very true. Very true.
For spending.
Yeah, that's true too. All right, JB, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week, all right? Have a good one. JB on the Jack Attack. All right, it's 8:56. Take a break. Wrap it up after this on KLIN.